Romans Chapter 3 Sermons by Paul C. Jong Sermon 2 There was no righteous person in this world, but God sent Jesus Christ and saved us at once. Romans Chapter 3 Verses 9 through 31 What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Jews who are no better for having been entrusted with the law. Beloved saints, after sequentially pointing out the sins of the Gentiles and the sins of the Jews in Romans 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul concludes all those discussions in one sentence in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Everyone, the Jews are certainly a people who received great benefits. They were entrusted with the Word of God. Received the sign of circumcision, and held the words of the law and the prophets in their hands. However, all those benefits did not make their sins disappear. Standing before God, neither the status of being a Jew nor the fact of having the words of the law made them any better in getting their sins washed away. If they were entrusted with the Word but failed to recognize and believe in the Messiah that the Word points to, it means they are like those who are no better than the Gentiles. Here, the saying, they are all under sin, means that they are descendants of Adam. It means that all people are trapped under the authority of sin. Because the very existence of human beings is that they are all descendants of Adam, they fundamentally cannot escape from their sins through their own good deeds. Just as David confessed in Psalm 51, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It means that all mankind right now is like that. But everyone, this declaration that both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin is a blessed place that opens the way to salvation. Because all mankind is equally under sin, Jesus was baptized by John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed his blood, and resurrected from death, thereby becoming the Savior of sinners. Therefore, it is because all of us can receive the complete removal of sins by faith and become God's people. No person has been excluded from that hand of salvation just because their sins are too great. Jesus was baptized by John at the Jordan River, had the sins of the world transferred to him once and for all, paid the price for those sins by shedding his blood on the cross, and resurrected 3 days after his death. Therefore, whoever believes in this Jesus Christ as their Savior can become one who is saved from all sins. Whoever knows and believes that Jesus became the Savior of mankind can be saved from the position of a sinner and become the people of God. Life in which there is none righteous, no, not one, and also no one who understands the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul, in order to confirm the diagnosis of Romans chapter 3, verse 9 more authoritatively, quotes the Old Testament Bible itself from verse 10. He says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. The single phrase, "as it is written," is a word that clearly reveals the fact that this is not the Apostle Paul's personal opinion, but that the words of the Bible, which are the words of God, are diagnosing sinful humanity in that way. The word of God, "there is none righteous, no, not one," is a declaration about human existence itself. It does not mean just feeling a little lacking in light of one's conscience, but it is a word that there was not a single person worthy of being recognized as sinless before God. People who are originally the descendants of Adam were those who could not even recognize Jesus, who is the master of truth, and had to return to a handful of dirt after living in sin. Next, the Apostle Paul shows where the sinful nature that was in a person's heart is revealed by showing it appearing through the most everyday channels. He says, "Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Romans chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. A tomb is a place where a corpse decays and a foul odor flows out. It means that the words coming out of a sinner's mouth, far from giving life to the listener, rather transfer the energy of death and despair. That single lie of the serpent whispering to Eve in the Garden of Eden, "You will not surely die," brought death to all humanity. That is not all. He says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." Romans chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. Sinful nature does not stop at the mouth and tongue, but wraps around the entire person, down to the tips of their toes. It is a diagnosis that the footsteps of Cain striking and killing his younger brother Abel in the field were engraved on the feet of all humanity. Just as even a beast being dragged to a slaughterhouse will pick up and eat a handful of beans thrown at it and follow all the way to the slaughterhouse, human beings trapped under sin are also drawn by the small bait thrown by desire and walk themselves right up to the entrance of destruction. So they finally reach the point where, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. The reason why a person pours out lies and bitterness, swiftly moves his feet to shed blood, and does not know the way of peace at all, is because the heart that fears God has disappeared from before his eyes. Everyone, a person who avoids God diagnosing his heart, is hard-pressed to be saved from his sins. One must acknowledge the fact that there is not a single sinless person in this world, and one must obtain salvation by believing in his heart that the baptism Jesus received from John at the Jordan River is exactly what transferred our sins of the world to him, and that he was crucified, resurrected from death, and became our Savior. However, some Christian teachings apply this text directly to believers, teaching that they can never escape the status of a sinner for their entire lives. But the Apostle Paul's original intention is the exact opposite. Because human beings were originally beings subject to the judgment of sin, Jesus was born taking on a human body through Mary, received baptism from John to have the sins of the world transferred to him, hung on the cross and shed blood in our place to bear the judgment of sin, and resurrected from death to become our Savior. Jesus Christ had our sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, and paid the price of sin on our behalf through the punishment of the cross. And he saved those who believe this gospel word of salvation with their hearts. You and I must be those who clearly believe this fact with our hearts. Then you will be saved from all your sins and become the sinless people of God. Are there any among you who have believed this word of God? If there are, you have become those who are saved before God. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." John chapter 1, verse 12. I hope you become those who are saved by believing with your heart. God's love and salvation revealed outside the law. Now, the Apostle Paul proclaims the righteousness of God newly revealed beyond the limits of that law. He says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference." Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. The single phrase, "but now," speaks to us through the expression, "the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." The righteousness of God is the righteousness of God's love that God himself prepared and revealed separately from the law. Yet by adding, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets," he clearly shows that this righteousness of God was the reality of salvation that the Old Testament showed as a shadow, that is, Jesus Christ. How does this righteousness of God come upon those who believe? He says, "Even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." It is the love of God in which Jesus Christ had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John, was crucified, and paid the price of the sinner's sins on their behalf. It is the word that it is the salvation given by God. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 compresses the core of salvation into one sentence: being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here, redemption refers to the righteous act of paying the price and saving. It refers to the love in which Jesus paid the price for all our sins of the world by receiving baptism from John, having the sins of the world transferred to his body, being crucified and shedding blood, and brought salvation to those who believe by resurrecting from death. From the baptism Jesus Christ received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, all the sins of this world were transferred to Jesus' body through baptism, and while bearing those sins, he was crucified and shed blood, thereby paying the price of sin in full, and by resurrecting in 3 days after his death, he has now become our Savior. The body of Jesus Christ set forth as a propitiation. The Apostle Paul explains the redemption of verse 24 from another angle. Propitiation is a term taken from the regulations of the peace offering in Leviticus. It is a sacrifice where a person who has become an enemy of God due to his own sin lays his hands on the head of an unblemished beast, passes his sin to that beast, and as that beast is killed and sheds blood on behalf of the sinner, the enmity between God and man is resolved and reconciliation is restored. The Apostle Paul declares that the reality of that peace offering is precisely Jesus Christ. Everyone, what does it mean that Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River? It exactly corresponds to the laying on of hands in the Old Testament peace offering. There, the sins of all humanity were transferred to the body of Jesus Christ, and the blood shed on the cross is the reality of the blood shed by the sacrificial beast of the peace offering. The event pointed to by the old ritual where that blood was applied to the horns of the altar of burnt offering was fulfilled exactly as it was on the cross. Therefore, Jesus' peace offering became a once-for-all peace offering, whose efficacy lasts permanently through a single baptism and a single shedding of blood on the cross. What did this peace offering point to and accomplish? God says, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Here, passed over does not mean just pretending not to see. It means that he no longer makes an issue of it, because it is a matter that has already been completely dealt with. The reason God endured with long-suffering in the Old Testament times is that he was saying that all the sins of this world were completely dealt with at once through the ministry of the baptism the Messiah Jesus Christ received from John and the sacrifice of the cross. Thus, God accomplished that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Because he did not just turn a blind eye to sin, but declared those who believe in Jesus as sinless after paying the price of sin in full in a just manner. This ministry is the truth of the love of salvation that fully reveals the righteousness of God. Here we see a clear correction to all faiths that separate and emphasize only the blood of the cross. For the unblemished beast of the peace offering, the laying on of hands, the shedding of blood, and death are connected in one flow. The laying on of hands and the blood cannot be separated apart from each other. Likewise, Jesus' peace offering is also a once-for-all salvation ministry, where the baptism he received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and the resurrection from death are connected as one. Therefore, only those who have accepted the gospel word of the water and the Spirit into their hearts can apply the true meaning of this propitiation to themselves, and only then are they saved by the faith that believes within the declaration that made those who believe in Jesus sinless, coming to enjoy peace in their hearts. The law of faith for salvation that comes after human boasting disappears. If the declaration of being sinless through the propitiation is the ministry of Jesus Christ's baptism and cross from beginning to end, what is there for a person to boast about before it? Not a single thing remains. The Apostle Paul says in verse 27, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. the fact that Jews had the law, the fact that they received circumcision, the fact that they made moral efforts, none of these can be a boast before God. The only way left in the place where boasting has disappeared is the love of salvation made by only the law of faith. Everyone, the Apostle Paul does not blindly set the law and faith in opposition. The law reveals God's will as God's command, and faith is also the law of salvation set by God, meaning that one is saved by the faith that believes in the Savior Jesus Christ, who received baptism from John, had the sins of the world transferred to him, was crucified, shed blood, and resurrected from death. So the channel that bestows salvation upon those who believe in the righteousness of God becomes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, Romans chapter 3, verse 28, clarifies this even more distinctly. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is a resolute rejection of all variations of works-based religion, whether it is the daily ritual of repentance practiced in most churches today, or the endless self-discipline of the legalistic camp. Any attempt to obtain one's own salvation through human effort in any form collapses before the word of verse 27. However, lest the single phrase "only faith" flow into a vague mystery, the Apostle Paul immediately clarifies, "Justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." The faith we rely on is not abstract. The faith that believes in that Jesus Christ as the Savior, who had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism he received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, bled and died on the cross, and resurrected from death, is a concrete faith. The ministry of salvation accomplished at once by Jesus Christ, who received baptism from John, hung on the cross, shed blood, and resurrected from death, makes the believer sinless, and we simply become those who obtain salvation through the faith that believes in the truthfulness of that ministry. The righteousness of salvation that does not make void the promise of salvation, but rather establishes it. Lastly, the Apostle Paul concludes the text by pointing to the one God. He clarifies that God is not only the God of the Jews, but also the God of the Gentiles, and that he is the one God who justifies both the circumcised and the uncircumcised only by faith. Therefore, faith does not make void the law, but rather establishes it. Looking at this truth from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, it can be said like this. It means that Jesus, in order to fulfill all the words of the Old Testament, received baptism from John the Baptist, was crucified and shed blood, and resurrected from death to become the Savior of us who believe. It is because the efficacy of all those prophetic words commanded by the law was completed in the baptism Jesus Christ received from John and the blood of the cross. The law was not abolished, but fulfilled. Also, in the life of a born-again righteous person, the law serves as a milestone. Even a person who has received the removal of sins sometimes makes mistakes in the weakness of the flesh. Whenever that happens, the law illuminates in what areas they were lacking, and the righteous person does not fall into conceit before that light, but always newly relies on the baptism the Lord received from John and the blood of the cross. And the law still operates as a mirror that makes souls who have not yet met the gospel realize their sins. Because if the law does not illuminate sin, a person does not even know the fact that he is a being in need of salvation. Receive salvation by believing in the righteous ministry of Jesus Christ, pointed to by the word of the weakness of the law. Beloved saints, this long text of Romans 3 clearly shows us one truth: whether Jew or Greek, whether possessing the law or not possessing it, all people are equally under sin, so there was none righteous, not even one. The law illuminates that fact, stops every mouth, and leads us before Jesus Christ. And right outside that law, a righteousness prepared by God Himself has appeared. That righteousness of God was completed by the once-for-all ministry in which Jesus had our sins of the world transferred to Him through the baptism He received from John at the Jordan River, paid the price of our sins with the blood He shed by being crucified, and guaranteed the righteousness of our faith by resurrecting from death. This righteousness of God is not obtained by works, but is received only by believing in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, and it comes upon all who believe without difference. There is not a single thing to boast about here, and it is the pure righteousness of salvation accepted by Jesus Christ, to which nothing can be added and nothing can be subtracted. Are you not holding the law in your hands, yet missing the righteousness of God that the law points to? I pray in the name of the Lord that you lay down all attempts to add righteousness by your own deeds. Accept this ministry of salvation, accomplished at once by Jesus Christ with faith, and stand firm in the righteousness of God bestowed without difference.